There's an exquisite medrash in Parshas Bamidbar based on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, and in turn fusing it with the issue of flags, because the flags appear first in this week's parsha, Ish al Diglo v'Ish al Machaneu. I'll speak about it a little bit in Mirz Hashem on Yom Yerushalayim. But why are flags important? And this medrash has a very specific aspect of the flags. So first, the pasuk in Shir HaShirim. The pasuk in Shir HaShirim is voiced at the literal level by the husband, Shuvi, Shuvi, Hashulamis, Shuvi, Shuvi, V'nechazebach. So it's a very alliterative pasuk, Shuvi, 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 Shuvi. And the middle word is also a shin, so it reads five words straight with shins. Shuvi, shuvi, hashulamis, shuvi, shuvi. And he's looking for his wife and for the object of his affection. But Chazal interpret this in a very intriguing, provocative, and historically reflective fashion. According to Chazal, shuvi, shuvi, hashulamis is a seductive but compelling invitation offered to the Jewish people repeatedly by the world and the international community. And it's a chorus or a refrain which is natural to the 2,000 plus years of exile that the Jews endure. And very often the exile is marked by discrimination, persecution, expulsion, and sometimes even attempted genocide. But other times it is characterized by this phrase where our host nations or our host cultures, recognizing and appreciating our talents, our contributions, and our potential, want us to become part of their world, and not just in a instrumentalist fashion to cooperate and collaborate, but actually to abandon part of our Jewish identity and part of our past. And why should you remain committed to your past, they ask the Shulamis. Shuvi, shuvi, hashulamis. Shuvi, shuvi, v'nechazeh bach. The word nechazeh literally means to see. That's what it means as a literal level in Shir HaShirim. But very often there's a derivative in Tanakh in which the word nechazeh means to see to an appointment. Yisro encourages Moshe in Parshas Yisro, v'yata techazeh mikol ha'am. You should appoint assistance. This is the first bureaucracy in history. Moshe can't handle the administrative toll of administering all the ritual and moral needs of a newly expanding population. So the nations offer us, as the Medrash says, four times. The word Shuvi appears four times, so it corresponds to the four different empires, major empires that would host the Jewish people: Babel, Parasumadai, Yavan and Edom. And they offer us, recognizing our talent, Anu osineschem shiltonim hegemonim duchasim afarchim istartalitin. Namely, join us. Integrate with us. Embed yourself in our history. Why are you latching on to that ancient, outdated, and obsolete heritage when you can join the modern world at the cost of abdicating that long-lost and seemingly irrelevant identity? And I think it becomes even more compelling when that offer to Jews is not just to religious-minded Jews or Jews who still are highly attentive to halachic regiment, but especially to Jews for whom the halachic draw is no longer a counterbalance. Because the answer of this Shulamis in Shir HaShirim is not the rejection of those invitations because we have our own lifestyle and we have our own halachic conduct, which renders us as separate and as distinct, thereby qualifying any entry into the broader culture as only partial. But it appears as if this medrash, based on the pasuk, provides a recipe for the retention of Jewish identity, even autonomous of halachic fidelity. So let's read the medrash, and the medrash is based on the conclusion of the pasuk, where the Shulamis woman responds to these entreaties, and she says, Ma techazu bashulamis. She refers to herself in third person. What can you offer this Shulamis Kimecholas ha-machanoim, that can compare to the dance of the camps. Machol is a circle dance, machanoim is the camps, an obvious reference to the stage of the Jewish history when we were encamped in the desert, when we were machanos, as accentuated and as underscored in Parshas Bamidbar. There's something about that Mecholas ha-machanoim that reinforces Jewish identity, and again, I can only stress this again, and it's not Shmiras HaMitzvos or Talmud Torah. So evidently, it's a matter that's very prophetic about Jewish retention of identity, even independent of Shmiras HaMitzvos, and we'll see in a moment. So one interpretation of the Medrash is Mecholas HaMachanayim, namely the joy we felt when we had flags. Shema Yecholim Atem La'asos Lanu Kegedula Sha'aseh Elokim Bamidbar. Can you recreate fact that we were gifted with the flags of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the desert? Now, I'll talk a little bit more extensively this week about the role of flags in the desert and the role of flags in modern Yerushalayim, but at a very literal level, we carried the flags and we were marching with flags that represented HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hevi'ani HaMelech Hadara V'diglo Alay Ahava. Hashem brought us into his house and he raised the flag, and when you raise a flag, you're laying claim to something, you're announcing a relationship or an identification to a broader audience, and we felt the full brunt of both that intimacy that we're brought to his house, and he indwelt his presence in our common house, the Mishkan, and the flags were raised to announce that to a world. Hashem wasn't very often, just to use the extended metaphor of Shir HaShirim, very often when a man and a woman are involved in a relationship, they're very private and discreet about it. But once they feel the relationship is solidified, then they're proud to announce it to the world, and that strengthens their love and sense of common commitment. So even though we no longer, or some people no longer feel driven to mitzvos, and we haven't had that intimacy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and that clear, overt affiliation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which Baruch Hashem, we feel we've rediscovered and reattained in the last 50 years. But we remember, as Zechariah says, the Avas Nirayach, Avas Kolosayach, Chesed Nirayach. And there's something very deep in the Jewish heart that remembers that relationship with Hashem, that went public, so to speak, with the raising of the flags, and that's our response. We had HaKadosh Baruch Hu's flag hovering and waving in the wind above us. And we dare not forfeit that for appointment or for affluence or political influence. The second interpretation of the Medrash is Kimecholas HaMachanayim Shema Atem Yecholim Latet Lanu. Can you repeat or recreate what Hashem provided in the desert? Shayucholtim V'umochet Lanu. We sinned, and despite the sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu retained us and forgave us. And this resonates very deeply because the hidden, seductive message of this invitation to the Shulam is not just that the offer is so enticing, but your position and status in history has been compromised because you have sinned and God has replaced you. You're now the infidel and you want to join the winning team. You want to join the right team, so to speak. And this is particularly compelling to Jews in Christian and Muslim lands who were certainly socioeconomically depressed, inferior, and that statement, that assertion, resonated with a lot of, reverberated with a lot of relevancy and a lot of compulsion that indeed Jews may, history, certainly if you viewed history through non-prophetic lenses, just empirically, it seems as if the Jews had taken a back seat, had lost their primary position and their pole position in history. And remembering the Mecholas HaMachanayim, that despite our mutinies in the desert, and the mutinies will start to aggregate in Sefer Bamidbar. The Egel is just one isolated insurrection in Shmos, but Bamidbar has a very, very tragic litany of failures, and yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu consistently atoned or forgave us, and it was a Mecholas HaMachanayim, not a dance, as the first interpretation suggests, but a atonement, Hilashon Mechila. And our response is, well, we still are chosen, and if Hashem forgave such serious affronts and offenses, in the desert, well, that's indicative of an enduring, immutable, and unbreakable relationship, and therefore we dare not compromise that relationship by these ephemeral offers. And then there's a third issue, which isn't necessarily part of the Mechalas HaMachanayim, but the Medrash takes license to describe a third issue. It moves from the atonement factor to Bilam's view. Interestingly enough, we'll read about Bilam in the end of the Sefer. Bilam is looking at the people and looking at their flags, and he's dumbstruck by the not just the marital fidelity and loyalty, but just the way that they're raising their families, their pedigree in raising families, their family structures, and under such harsh and difficult conditions of 40 years in the desert. Remember, Bilam is arriving 40 years later, and he says, "Mi'achol liga b'vnei adam elu makir nesavoseim esmishpachoseim." These people have such strong family identity, and he witnesses them shochein l'shvatav. That's a pasuk in Parshas Balak. He witnesses them neatly arranged and organized to their respective tribes and families. And the degalim, the flags, were at a very practical level, assisted them in their ability to create tribal and familial viscosity and bonding in a way that prevented the type of sexual misbehavior and corruption of pedigree that would typically plague a people wandering through the desert without clear and finite or durable personal structures, with a lot of infiltration and invasion of private space. And these flags were a geder li Yisrael. And I think that a lot of people today look to Judaism and appreciate the family structure, the general, obviously, unfortunately, there's a lot of culture creep and a lot of the dysfunctional marital behavior, in particular adultery and disloyalty, has begun to infiltrate the Jewish community, sadly enough. But by and large, we still retain, along with some other cultures, to be fair, but certainly in our culture, there's certainly a championing of a family structure and a family loyalty and a family pedigree and a family values, not just in the protection of the marital boundaries, but in the commitment to children and education and respective elders. And when we recite in Aleinu every day, Shelo Asanu Kigoye Haratzos Velo Samanu Kemishpechos Adama, so we highlight the evaluation and the prioritization we place upon family values and family structures. So it's a very intriguing medrash because it describes what would appear to be a very appealing and a very attractive invitation, and the response of the Shulamis is not, well, I've got my mitzvot and Torah to study, and they naturally create a separate identity. So presumably this medrash is referring to elements of Judaism that continue to draw the attention of Jews, historical elements, even without the ritualistic and Torah study oriented experiences. There's a memory of our relationship with Hashem, and many Jews today have that sense that we're God's chosen people. We were liberated from Mitzrayim for a mission. They may not be able to sustain halachic adherence, but they certainly sense that original mission that was lodged in Mitzrayim. There's a sense that that chosenness was not compromised by our failures and won't be compromised in history by our failures. And then there's a sense that our family structures are unique, and all these together justify the retention of Jewish identity, even in the face of what would otherwise be very attractive and appealing offers.